Can you lower the lights for me, please?
Thanks, guys.
I can't work with him.
I think I'm getting a divorce.
I'm sure you'll make a killing.
Let us both be done.
Good job, buddy.
The signs are obvious.
Did I wake you?
I'm sorry, what?
Movie news.
What's my name?
With Gareth Daly.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you, Gareth, and a very happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you as well.
Thank you very much. And you gave us a brand new jingle for the first Movies and Musicals of the new year. Might take another listen. Just might. That's tricky.
Lots of guessing in that one.
Lots of guessing. I think I got one or two. I'll tell you what, as we always do, I will play it at the end of movie news and then we'll give you the answers next week. But where are we starting today? There's lots going on.
There's lots going on. We're going to start with Chevy Chase because he's been in the news quite a lot, actually, the 82-year-old, because there's a documentary out about him called Chevy Chase. I'm Chevy Chase and You're Not.
Yes.
And it covers everything from his childhood, SNL, and his film successes. And actually, one of those film successes is something he has been speaking about, which is The Three Amigos, which, if you remember, he starred alongside Steve Martin and Martin Short back in 1986. Well, there was talks that he might be, like, would he be interested in joining the cast of, say, Only Murders in the Building, because it's going into its sixth season in London. He kind of hinted at it recently, that he sort of spoke with the executive producer, John Hoffman. But really, he's been talking about The Three Amigos and how he'd love to get back together and reunite with them and potentially do something. I wonder, could we see something there? I think there's more likely a chance of him popping up in Only Murders if they all agree and can decide to do that.
It'd be great to see the three of them on screen together, but whatever they do, they're very funny, no doubt about it. Now, what are cinema windows? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, this is the release pattern that we get for cinema distribution. And it has kind of, it's been in the news a lot recently because of Netflix interest in purchasing Warner Brothers and people wondering, you know, will the films go straight to Netflix or will they stay in that window for the cinema release? Yeah. And if you remember, Sean Baker, when he won for Nora, he won the Oscar for Nora, did so well. And when he won at the DGA Awards, he gave this big speech about how he wanted filmmakers to demand studios that there be a minimum of a 90-day window for a cinema release. He has a new movie setting up with Neon, and it seems that he's getting a 100-day window, that he's pushing it even further. So it's kind of back to the old days.
So this is to get people back into cinemas.
Back into cinemas, I kind of agree with it in a certain way that, you know, and to preserve, I suppose, the integrity and the want in people to go along to the cinema, that you have the sort of longer window. And in 2025, it seems that the average was 32 days before it maybe appeared on a streamer, or whether you could purchase the movie after it being in the cinemas. Now, there was news out this morning, actually, via Deadline, that Netflix may be just putting a 17-day window on the Warner Brothers projects that they might pick up. So that's not great, because a lot of the cinemas in the US, they simply demand 45 days at a minimum. So this battle is going to continue, unfortunately, between sort of streaming and cinema releases. It suits some, but it definitely doesn't suit cinemas.
Okay. A lot of people went to see Zootopia too.
A lot of people. Would you believe it has become the highest grossing movie in Walt Disney's animation history?
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable. $1.46 billion at the global box office, overtaken the record that was set by Frozen 2 in 2019.
I was trying to think. So Frozen 2 was in the lead and now Zootopia 2. There you go with the sequels, huh?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I think, you know, there was a huge gap. There wasn't that many kids movies that were in the cinema. So it was it was kind of obvious that people just rushed to it. And it did so well. It made $1.13 billion overseas. So outside the US, that's what it made. And half of that came from China. So I bet the Hollywood studios will be looking forward and thinking, you know what? How are we going to play in China? Because obviously those types of numbers have just made it such a success for Disney. So there you go, Zootopia 2 smashing
breaking
it at the box
records.
Office.
Excellent. Now, a story about public domain.
Well, public domain is something that we're going to hear more and more of every year, because we're kind of moving into a period where we're going to get, you know, these figures becoming public domain. So Mickey Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, they were all put into the public domain last year. And this year we're going to have Betty Boop and Miss Marple joining them.
Wow.
So what this means is, I suppose, that the you know, the US copyright has you know, reached its maximum duration. It's used 95 years on some of these things. It means creators can use and repurpose them without permission or indeed payment.
Okay.
Now, what it does mean, though, they can't, there's a sort of an important distinction that Disney raised, of course they did, over Mickey Mouse. So a character's trademark is distinct from the copyright works that feature in them. So, you know, you can't make merchandise from them.
Okay.
But you can certainly use what was released. I thought what was interesting, though, apart from those characters, you do have Nancy Drew. The first four books, they have become available.
Yeah.
You've also Miss Marple, as I mentioned. And the Marx Brothers, one of their films, Animal Crackers, is now public domain. Every year, I think we're going to see more and more things just move into the public domain space. Fascinating.
Very good. Tell us about this study of female directors.
Yes, well, a new study has described 2025 as a great recession for women directors, with just 9 women directors attached to the 100 top grossing films. This was at the US box office. So there was 111 directors who helmed those films. 9 of them were women, including the likes of Emma Tammy, did Five Nights at Freddy's 2, Celine Song, who did The Materialist. You also had Maggie Kang, who did K-pop Demon Hunters, and Chloe Zhao for Hamlet. Yeah. As well. Now, the 2025 figure represents a steep drop from 24, when the percentage of women directors on the top 100 grossing films was 13.4%. So it's, the title of the study was Inclusion in the Director's Chair, and they've been looking at, what, 1,900 films since their release in 2007 all the way up to last year. We'd like to see that change.
Okay, well, it looks like our own Saoirse Ronan is helping out there. She's going behind the camera.
Yeah, she's going to make her directorial debut later this year.
Right.
With a short film called Paper Plane, which she has also written. So Screen Ireland are backing the film. Keeper Pictures in Dublin are going to produce it. So she's going to direct it. She's got a lot of tips, I'd say, from Greta Gerwig down through the years.
Exactly.
And lots of advice there. She's, of course, next going to be seen in a film called Bad Apples. And she's got that upcoming role in the Linda McCartney film, as Linda McCartney in Sam Mendes' Beatles biopic as well. So she's going directing.
Excellent.
So that's good news.
We wish her well. What trailer have you picked for us?
Okay, so this is the new film from Steven Spielberg. It's called Disclosure Day. Take a listen to this, because there's a great cast in it.
People have a right to know the truth. It belongs to 7 billion people.
What is it?
You won't believe me if I told you, so I'm going to show you.
What are you going to do?
Full disclosure. To the whole world, all at once. People keep wandering, encountering the unknown.
They're coming! They're coming!
They are starved for the truth.
Do you think there could be others?
Why would he make such a vast universe? Save it only for us.
So a clip there from the new Steven Spielberg film Disclosure Day. We were waiting for a title, weren't we, Garrett?
Waiting for a title. We didn't know much about it, and we still pretty, I mean, the trailer's kind of teasing to us that, you know, if we found out we weren't alone, if someone showed you, proved it to you, would that frighten you? It's called Disclosure Day. Josh O'Connor, Emily Blunt, Colin Firth, Eve Houston, Coleman Domingo, wonderful cast, and as we know, wonderful director working in the space of, what, sci-fi, UFOs, always good space for Steven Spielberg. It's going to be out June 12th.
Excellent.
Disclosure Day.
We look forward to it. New releases in cinema. This looks really interesting. Let's take a clip from Peter Hujar's Day, and it stars Ben Whishaw and Rebecca Hall.
I say, is Allen Ginsberg there? And he says, who's calling? And I say, it's Peter Hujar. I'm supposed to photograph you for the Times. I get my camera stuff together. I had a flash that there was something sort of bohemian poet about it, and I'd be much snazzier in my red ski jacket.
Oh, good choice, yeah.
I just think it's more like Lower East Side. I photographed Ginsberg, and he sits down in the lotus position, looking very Buddha, right in the doorway, and he starts to chant.
And I really think, well, I can't interrupt God.
That's Peter Hujar's Day. And Garrett, it's a short film, and it's just an hour and 16, I think I looked it up, and I'm dying to see it. Right. I mean, Ben Whishaw, for me, I don't know about you, he can do no wrong. I think he's always just excellent.
He's a superb actor.
Isn't
he's
he?
Just so good. He is so good. And we know he can do light, he can do dark. And he looks like he's putting on a great performance in this as well. Set in 1974, he is playing an acclaimed photographer, describes the routines and rituals that defines an artist's life to his friend and writer, Linda Rosenkratz, capturing a single day's activities in touching and funny details from interactions with cultural icons of the day. And as you said, Rebecca Hall also starring in that as
Very
well.
Very good. A couple more to mention?
Yes, Song Sung Blue is based on a true story of two down-on-their-luck musicians who form a joyous Neil Diamond tribute band, proving it's never too late to find love. If you're a fan of Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, they both lead the cast in Song Sung Blue. And also on the big screen is Saipan, which explores the explosive clash between soccer star Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy before the 2002 FIFA World Cup. So
yeah.
Plenty to
Ian Hardwick looking superb in that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Keane. Steve Coogan playing Mick McCarthy.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, yeah. What about a TV movie for us?
So this is Blackberry. So this is the story set in 1996 about an engineering student and his best friend who stands on the sort of precipice of creating the world's first smartphone. However, a series of disastrous events paves the way for the gadget's eventual demise. If you're interested in tech and you want to see the development of, you know, what was one of the biggest companies, which was BlackBerry when it came to phones, this film really captures it well. I enjoyed the movie. You can watch it tomorrow night. It's on RT2 at 9:35.
Brilliant. Thanks a million, Garrett. We'll take another listen to your brand new jingle, and as I say, we'll give the answers next Saturday. Talk to you then, Garrett. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Aideen.
Can you lower the lights for me, please?
Thanks, guys.
I can't work with him.
I think I'm getting a divorce.
I'm sure he'll make a killing.
Let us both be done.
Good job, buddy.
The signs are obvious.
This way again.
I'm sorry, what?
Movie news.
What's my name?
With Gareth Daly.
Hello.
Bye.